1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. Now I want to speak to you a message today entitled, The Man. Simply two words, The Man. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 reads this, For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. The man, Christ Jesus. This world was blessed with a man over 2,000 years ago that did and continues to do what no man could even attempt to do. This man is, as stated in the text, is the man Christ Jesus. He's wonderful. He's our counselor. He's Almighty God. He's everlasting Father. And I'm sure you've heard men say several times in conversation, or women in several conversations say, You the man. Or, what is up, man? Or, check out the man when he walks into a room. Check out the man. But these short remarks or one-liners do not describe the man I would like to share with you today. There has never been a man like the man, ever, and never will be. No one can ever replace Jesus Christ, and many have tried. The Bible even says, Jesus said that there will be many that come in my name, but they're not him. They will not cause into your soul and into your life and into your heart what he has caused to happen, and that is forgiveness of sin and salvation. Who portrays an attitude and a mindset that he wanted to give everyone who came in contact with him through the physical appearance, through prayer, through vision, or hearing the word. The Bible declares in John 1:1, says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. How powerful is that, that even when all earth was created, the universe had begun, Jesus was there because he was God. He is God. He's the King of kings and the Lord of glory. In John 1:14, it says, And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. How powerful is that? We beheld the glory of God by seeing Jesus Christ. And I think it's really powerful to say that he also wanted us to have a mindset, like I just mentioned, an attitude. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The Greek for mind is really stating an attitude. Let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And how could that be? How could that possibly be? How could that happen in our life? It's because Jesus came into our life. He wants to lead our life. He wants to reconstruct our life. He wants to renew our mind. He wants to bless us in everything. He wants to touch our life in such a way that we will be totally different from the day we met him. He wants us to mature in him. The Bible even says that literally we will mature into the fullness and the stature of Jesus Christ. Praise God for that, that we will become like him in the knowledge of who he is. And the Bible even says that when he appears, we shall be like him. Amen. And how thankful it is to know him in that way. I could preach to you today and tell you all about the man who healed. I could tell you all about the man who sanctifies. I could tell you all about the man who blesses. I could tell you all about the man who loves. But those aren't the particulars that I want to speak to you about today at all. I want to share with you, however, and I would like to present three characteristics that will just capture your heart. I've prayed for 3 days for this, that the identities would in your life would be changed so drastically, and the uncountable lives that he has already changed in his years upon this earth, but also in all that He's always been forever and ever. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He has changed uncountable lives. Even the story that I told you this morning just about the man who visited me. I had no idea I was being used of God to be such a drastic, important change and impact into this man's life. So you see, church, you have to be aware that when you represent Jesus, wherever you're at, what you speak and how you encourage people and how you build them up in Christ Jesus changes them. There's an enemy out there that is also speaking, also trying to impact, also trying to change lives in such a way that he wants to impact them more than Jesus. But when the church is silent, he has a winning score on his side. When the church doesn't represent Jesus in the way they should in an everyday life, it's so easy. I've said this for so many years, ever since I began preaching 38 years ago, is that it's so easy to represent Jesus in the church. When you're in the walls, the sterility, where everybody's there, it's easy to represent Jesus. But when you're out and about, on the highways and the byways, in the workplace, in the home, wherever you may be, texting, Facebooking, Twittering, Tumbling, whatever it may be, you will definitely be representing Jesus Christ in such a way that it's so important. So radically important. Actually, I think people should take Facebook and when someone does something on Facebook that states something that's contradictory to the gospel, instead of sitting back and saying, I better not say that because everybody will think I'm too radical, or I better not get involved, I don't want to get into a debate publicly. I say write back to them and have the word of God with you when you write back and show them that they're wrong. Praise God. Don't give the devil the time. Don't let the devil impact lives the way they are. You know, I have friends on Facebook that I really shouldn't have friends on Facebook because they're living in such notorious sin. They don't believe in Jesus. They don't even have anything to do with Jesus. But yet they're on my Facebook because when I write something on there, which is not a whole lot, maybe three times a month, whatever it may be, the average, they read it. And a man called me the other day to thank me about something from back east. And he is a good man, and he's trying his best to live a spiritual life. But he doesn't follow the lifestyle of a Christian, but he's doing his best. But he called me the other day to thank me on something. And he said, Dennis, I want you to know something, that I follow you on Facebook through my wife's account. I follow you on Twitter, and I see everything. And he said, for many years I have followed you. I have followed your web pages. I have followed your foundation. I have followed you at the church you're at. And let me tell you, I am so inspired by what you say. You see, friend, if less we show Jesus, the world will never see Jesus. I want to say this to you. Jesus is not going to show up with a pair of Ray-Bans at your neighbor's front door saying, you know, next door, they should have been over here to talk to you, but they didn't, so I thought I'd come by and take over. We are the representation of Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that he came to die and rise and live forevermore in glory. That was his purpose. That was his proper design. That was who he was when he stepped upon this earth, birthed out of that womb. I don't know how popular Jesus was for the first 30 years. I don't know whether or not he had a life that would really people would want to write about. I have no design or no reason to wonder why from the time that he came out of the womb and all the way till 30 years old, except for the one instance when he was 12, where he was in the temple speaking into the scribes, speaking into the Levitical priesthood, speaking into their life about the Word and about the Father for 3 days. I have no idea why that's represented there and nothing else before and nothing else after. But he did say to his mother, why are you surprised that I'm outdoing my Father's work. And I wonder today if I can challenge you to understand about the man, Christ Jesus. I wonder if he showed up today, could he say to you, where have you been? And could you say back to him, I've been out doing the Master's work. Why are you surprised that I was at church today, worshiping you? Why are you surprised that I was hungry to speak the gospel of who you are? Why are you surprised that I was willing to lay hands on the sick in the highways, in the byways, that they would be healed? Why are you surprised that I desire so deeply to come into your presence? You see, church, I have no idea why Jesus Christ didn't have some popular childhood. I don't know if back in the day, if they had Twitter or Facebook, if he'd even have a page or an account. I don't know whether or not that he would be like that. But what I do know, that when I read about him, I find that he was very consecrated to the Father. Very much involved in pleasing God. And we are to be just like him. We are to be consecrated unto the Lord. And we are to be so desiring to please God every day of our life that every thought and every action that we have declares our love for God more than anything else in the world. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God forevermore. Hallelujah that we can be saved. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm going to heaven. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I got a Savior that paid a price that I could not pay. He paid the debt that he did not owe that I owed, but he took care of it for me. And because I came to him one day as a sinner lost in a world so confusing, in a world so deep in sin, in a world that had transformed me into its image, and I spoke to him and he forgave me of all my sin and set me free. I am so glad that I know the man. I know a lot of people that I could call the man. I know a lot of people that are very important on this earth. I know a lot of people across this nation. I know a lot of people that are officials in churches. I know a lot of people that have done great work for Jesus Christ. I've met with them. They've prayed for me. They've imparted into my life by the laying on of hands. I've purposely sat with them. I've looked at their skin, their faces. I've looked at them. I've studied their lives. But none of them is Jesus Christ. None of them can replace Jesus in my life. None of them could be that one who is the King of glory and God's only begotten Son. Luke 9 and 22 says this, saying that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised on the third day. How'd you like that to be your testimony? Knowing that when you came upon this earth, no one would love you. Your family would say, he's crazy. He's insane. That's what the Greek says. No one would want to really walk with him or stay with him. And do you know he had a great group of people following him? Till one day he told them who he really was and what he came to do and what he was all about. And the Bible says, and they all turned and left him. Rejected of men. The disciples even said, he asked them, what about you? And he said, Master, we have no other place to go. How I see that is, as if we had another place to go, we would have went. But we have no other place to go. You see what I'm saying to you? That when you realize who the man is, you have to make a choice. You're going to follow him or you're going to reject him. And oftentimes I think in our actions throughout the church that I've witnessed in the last 20 years, little by little, it's nurturing and maturing into one that rejects him more than accepts him. I read an article the other day, just a very interesting article before I preach here the points. And what it was stating in a nutshell is that people today have begun their walk with God, but because they become so inherent with him and so thankful that they're saved, they have begun to become such a friend with God that they have designed how they want their friendship to be. In other words, they have a right to do the sins that they do because God loves them. Oh, how the enemy tricks us. Oh, how the enemy says it's okay to do this and it's okay to do that. Jesus never said it was okay to do that, but he forgave us and said, go and sin no more. Who could have thrown the rock that day? Jesus. Did he? No. That's how I look at that scripture. I don't look at the people leaving saying we're sinners, you know, and everybody goes, yeah, everybody's a sinner, and there's a woman standing there without anything on, you know, nothing at all, and she's standing there, and all these people want to kill her. He wraps her up. Literally, they drop the stones and leave. He says, I forgive you. Go and sin no more. The only one there that could have thrown the rock and got away with it was Jesus. I challenge everybody today, put down your stones. You're not Jesus. But we need Jesus. We need him. We love him. He loves us. He cares for us. And what he did was awesome. Number one, I'd like to talk to you about the man, the Son of God. His purpose to save mankind. That's why he came. If you wanted to say one thing, if there was one person on this earth that needed salvation, he would have come. He would have came and he would have saved you. He would have died for you, suffered for you, and did everything that he did that just one would be saved. You've read the parable, haven't you? About the 99 sheep that one had left. He left the 99 and he went to get the one. And he brought it back. I did a study on the lamb that he went to get one time, and they tell me that the sheep herders in that day, if they had a wandering lamb constantly going, they would go search him out. But when they got him, what they would do, so he wouldn't wander anymore, they would break his leg and then carry the small lamb around its neck till it was healed. Oh, hallelujah. Someone get spiritual with me today. Someone understand that once in a while when you wander up, he comes to find you. If you keep wandering, he will break your leg, but he won't set you down hurting. He will carry you around his neck to your heel, that you know the love and the power and the anointing of the Lord God Jesus Christ, who is the man. Hallelujah. Welcome the man into your life. Welcome the man into your heart. Welcome the man into your household. I tell you, it's so beautiful what it says in 1 Timothy 1 and 15. There is a faithful saying and a worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. And this is Paul writing his spiritual son, Timothy. Paul loved attention. But he loved the attention for God, that God gave him for the cause of Christ. He was left naked. He was shipwrecked. He was friendless. He was smitten with 40 stripes, less one. He was totally just put through everything, imprisoned. He was rejected. I mean, my goodness gracious, the guy wasn't even a handsome guy. You know what I mean? He wasn't attractive. He wasn't anything. He just simply was an amazing genius of a man. But everything he did, he always remembered the great sinner that he was, the one that murdered Christians, that sent Christians to prison, the one that stood right there at the feet of Stephen when he was being stoned to death with the clothes thrown at his feet of who Stephen was. And he heard Stephen say the prayer, forgive them. Forgive them. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And how much do we need to be like that? We need to know that there is a Savior in the world. Number two, his design, born of a virgin, suffer, rejected by men, be crucified and rise alive forevermore. In Matthew 1 and 23, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. That great Emmanuel. He walked upon this earth. God walked upon a cursed earth through his son, Jesus Christ. God presented himself to mankind through a virgin's womb, through a manger's birth, wrapped in clothes that literally signified death, The clothes that he was wrapped in that were supposed to be death clothes or funeral clothes or clothes that you would wrap an individual that has passed away. They were clothes that were wrapped for those that would have life. If you study it out, you'll find that those were the materials used. And praise God, he came out of that tomb alive forevermore. Alive forevermore. Isaiah 53 and 3 says he is despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. My goodness, do you remember your life before salvation? Don't ever forget your landmarks. Don't ever forget where you came from. I've heard people say that about their heritage, about their family, telling their son and daughter, when you go out in this world, don't you forget where home is. Don't you forget how you've been raised. Don't you forget how many clothes I bought for you. Don't you forget how big the credit card is because of you. Don't you forget all these things that have gone on in your life when you're out there in the world. And what does a child normally do when they go out there? They forget about mom and dad because it is party time. They're away at school and everything's going on and they're doing what they think is right. Let me tell you something. You've never and shall never walk away from Jesus. Praise God. He'll go to college with you. He'll go to school with you. He'll sit in front of a computer with you. He will be there with you. Don't you ever forget who Jesus Christ is. He is the man. He is the man of God. That is of many sorrows. He's the man that has caused us to become a born again believers of the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. How powerful it is to know that in Mark 8 and 31, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And guess what? He fulfilled that. Jesus Christ fulfilled that in our life. He rose on the third day. By himself, he blew out that stone. By himself, he walked out there in front of the brightness was so powerful that those guarding it were blinded and fell to the ground. The power of the Lord is that strong today in this world. If we would just tap into the man, tap into his goodness and tap into his mercy and tap into his love. He wants to bless us. Thirdly, his gift. His gift is to reconcile and to give us the Holy Ghost. That's why I hunger so deeply for people to know Jesus Christ. To know him, to know the power of his love and the power of forgiveness and the reconciliation that he brought us to God the Father. How wonderful it is in 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 19. Now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, now imputing their trespasses to them. You and I have a ministry of reconciliation. How much time do you spend each week reconciling men to Jesus? Showing that ministry of reconciliation, that willingness, that empowerment, that visual person that you are. Whether you're at the gym, whether you are at work or at school. Do you know, I used to work out at Gold's Gym in Hayward. I worked out with all these sinners. I mean, literally sinners. I worked out with Fuzzy from the Hells Angels in Oakland. I worked out with Sonny Barger, who literally started the Hells Angels. I worked out with NFL stars that were there that worked out in Hayward. I worked out with bodybuilders. And I worked out with people that would fly from Chicago to San Francisco because they were in the United Airlines hub in Chicago and in San Francisco, and I'd work out with them. Some of those guys became my workout partners. I got so involved with this, but you know what they called me there? The pastor of the gym. They were showing dirty pictures one time, coming back from a trip overseas, and they were showing the dirty pictures. And you know what? They saw me standing there, and they said, "Stay over there, pastor. Your eyes can't see these things." And I said, "Your eyes shouldn't be seeing them either, praise God." But let me tell you something. You got to represent Jesus wherever you go. Whoever you are, you got to just be Jesus. Amen? You got to shine His light, shine His glory, shine His love, shine His purpose in your life, that everybody that sees you when you walk away say, that guy gets me, or that lady gets me uncomfortable. I get a little uncomfortable. You know, they stop swearing, they stop cussing, they stop telling dirty jokes, and they stop doing all the stuff, the cheating, the lying, they stop doing all the frivolous plannings that go away from God. They do all this stuff. But when you're there, they don't. Because they know you represent the man. Next week, walk up to somebody and say, I want you to know something. I know the man. I know the man, Christ Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. I think it's really, really beautiful in Acts 2 and 38 when Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I tell you, if you haven't received the Holy Ghost yet, if you haven't been baptized in fire by the Holy Spirit, if you haven't got your prayer language in the gift of tongues, if you have not been able to know who Jesus is through the baptism, you need to get baptized today in the Holy Spirit. Praise God. You need to know the power that indwelleth within you. You need to know the power that can make you an overcomer. You can't be a victorious person without Jesus. You're fighting a losing battle. You cannot be more than a conqueror. You may be a conqueror, but you'll never be more than a conqueror. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want you to know that you'll never be an overcomer without Jesus Christ. You'll be constantly climbing and climbing, but you'll never overcome. But once you get Jesus into your life, you will be an overcomer. Praise God, by the blood of the Lamb and by the testimony of your life, and that you don't love your life even as unto death. You are an overcomer. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody praise Him today. Secondly, I'd like to tell you about the man, the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God, John 1, 35 and 36. And the next day, John stood with two of his disciples looking at Jesus as he walked, and he said, not, here comes my cousin. Not, hey, that's Mary's kid. Hey, Jesus, come on over and join the group. He yelled out, behold the Lamb of God. Yes. I want to say to you today, church, behold the Lamb of God in your life. Amen. You want to have church? Behold the Lamb of God. You want to worship? Behold the Lamb of God. You want to be healed? Behold the Lamb of God. You want to be saved? Behold the Lamb of God. You want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Behold the Lamb of God. You want to be set free? Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God forevermore. His suffering with a whisper, without withdrawal. Obedience to the Father. How could have anyone done that? How could anyone go through what he went through? Never saying a word unless he was asked a question. Are you the King of the Jews? You say that I am. You understand? He is God. He is worthy of our praise. Isaiah 53 and 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before its shearer is silent. So he opened not his mouth at all. My gosh, today's world, people complain more than I've ever seen in my life. Complain about this, complain about that. If they don't find anything to complain about, they create something to complain about. It's just over and over and over again and over and over and over again. When I get on Facebook, sometimes I see all the stuff people are saying. I'm saying, where is the remedy to their lives? What's going on with their lives? What they need is to start quoting the Word, quoting the Bible, quoting Jesus, quoting something. How wonderful Jesus is. Let me tell you something, my friend. He hurt for you. He hurt for you. He suffered for you. He never went, ouch. He never said, stop it, it hurts. He never said, couldn't you just send me to my room? He never did anything like that. He was like a lamb going to be sheared, silent. The pain that he went through, the mercy that he showed is incredible. Secondly, his sacrifice, horrific, painful, humiliating, undeserved, accepted, and complete. All of that for you and I. All of that that we would be here in church today, listening to a man speaking the word about the man. Knowing that Christ Jesus is there, and knowing that days of prayer have gone into this message. Days of seeking the Lord and asking his direction in this message. I was so excited when he dropped into my spirit, I want you to preach about the man. And I got so excited. The first thing I said is, how am I ever going to do that? That's a pretty incredible message. He said, don't worry, I'll do it through you. The man, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. His sacrifice was horrific. It was painful, humiliating, undeserved, accepted, and complete. I just want to read that to you again. Do you understand? The Bible says in Isaiah 52 and 14, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. No one has ever been beaten that bad. So you get the picture. Jesus is up there on that nice little cross that we see people wear a cross, and Jesus is still on the cross, and by the way, he's not. And literally, they show this picture, or you show artist drawing of Jesus and all this stuff. And let me tell you something, they show all these beautiful pictures. They show some of him on the cross, and it's just amazing. But the real picture was that he was naked. They hated him so much. The Romans hated him. The Jews called out, crucify him. Even Pilate recognized him. He said, I present to you today the man Christ Jesus, and I find no fault in him. And they cried out, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And he washed his hands. He said, I give him to you, but I find no fault. He was beaten so bad that when you looked at him on the cross, his visage, you could not even tell it was human. His body was torn by the cat of nine tails everywhere, up and down from his ankles all the way to the top of his neck. Crown of thorn pressed into the skull, now swollen. Face so beaten, his lips were so swollen that he could hardly speak. Eyes closed shut almost, except for the piercing eyes that he could get out. Even when he had died, one of the Roman soldiers that nailed him to the cross said this, truly, this is the Son of God. Amen. How much we need to wake up, get up, praise up, worship up, saved up, gather up a harvest, let them meet the man, Jesus Christ. Amen. Isaiah 53, 4 and 6. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded by our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. And we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. If it wasn't for Jesus, you wouldn't be saved. If it wasn't for Jesus, you would never get miraculously healed. Ever. If it wasn't for Jesus, your sins would be so dark in your life. I'm so glad that I got saved, because if I didn't get saved, I don't think I'd be preaching the gospel today and I wouldn't be alive. I don't know what I would have become. I don't know where I would have ended up. But it wasn't as good as this. Can't even compare it. Praise God. I made statements before I got saved. How can anybody ever have fun not doing the things I'm doing right now? What are these Christians doing? They are not doing anything. I'm telling you, I want to confess publicly, I've never had so much fun in the last 38 years of my life. Praise God. Hallelujah. He is the most fun person to hang around, the man Jesus Christ. He has got a sense of humor. He has got wisdom. He has got deliverance. Let me speak on deliverance for a moment. Praise God. There is the deliverance that needs to happen in certain people's lives. A deliverance from habits. A deliverance from addictions. A deliverance from what they do in the world. Praise God. A deliverance from what they cause in their minds to happen. A deliverance, and the only one that can deliver you is the man Jesus Christ. Yeah. I just got to say this as the Holy Spirit told me to say this. You teenagers and young people today, the world's trying to gather you up in its grips and lock you into a sinful, horrific, heinous life. And he's causing you to draw towards the sensual things of this life. Draw towards the things that he knows that he can corrupt easily by your minds because they're not praying. It's causing you to fall into sins of premarital sex and having sex with the same sex and visually seeing things that you should not look at, watching acts of pornography with other people watching and just watching it and you getting arousal. And oh, let me tell you, the Holy Ghost is leading me by telling you, stop! Amen. God is reaching into your life. Stop! He came to give you life and a life more abundantly. He came to give you fulfillment and to give you joy. A joy that's unspeakable. What's a joy that's unspeakable? You get so happy you can't even talk. Hallelujah. Praise be to the Lord, my God. Don't listen to the lies of this enemy that rules this earth. Listen to the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory that rules the universe and rules the heart of every born-again believer. John 19:30, so when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished," and bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. It was complete. God himself had to separate from his son. And Jesus said, my God, why have thou forsaken me? And when he died, the earth quaked. Graves opened up. The skies grew so dark. And as I said before, even the Roman soldiers said, truly, this is the Son of God. Thirdly, his atonement. It doesn't cover sin. I heard someone say that one day. The blood of Jesus covers all sin. Don't you dare say stuff like that. The Bible declares it very clearly. It takes away sin. The atonement in the Old Testament covered sin for a year. Then they had to come back and do it again. That's the only way God could have a relationship with them. Because there was the altars, the lambs, there was the bulls, there was the oxen, there was the dove, there was everything was sacrificed, the entrails taken off, this part put over there, everything had to be burned, and what wasn't used, you had to eat by the next day. He gave it to the Levitical priest, but nothing shall be left. It covered sin. But Jesus came and died on the cross, and his blood takes away sin. Takes it away. John 1:29. I just want to back that up with scripture just in case you're arguing with it in your mind because you want to hang on to it. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Behold the man. You got a sin? He's got it. You got a problem? He'll take it. You got a burden? He'll carry it. The man! Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. Now let me say this last point. The man, the mediator of God. You know, you and I couldn't speak to God if it wasn't for Jesus. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, you could talk all day long. And it's going to go up that the Bible says in the Old Testament. And thank God for the New Testament. Because every one of us would live outside the camp if we were back in those days. And if you're that good, I don't want you to touch me because I'll ruin you. I just want you to know something. That because of the grace of God, we're already, we can stand before Him. But the Bible says, if you don't do these things and obey Him in Deuteronomy, He said, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to make the heavens like bronze and the earth like iron. Can you imagine? In other words, you may be praying, but it's going up to bronze air. You ain't getting through. But Jesus, when He comes into your life, and oh my God, does God hear the prayers of sinners? Yes, He does, because when they're praying, they're asking for forgiveness. He's praying because He wants to see their life change. God will hear your prayers when you call out to Him for salvation and for joy. When you call out for Him for help. When you call out for Him knowing that Jesus Christ is going to mediate these prayers. Let me tell you, if God didn't hear a sinner's prayer, then Jesus wouldn't come in. But you just can't be a sinner, reject God and say, okay, God, here I come. Bronze heavens. Are you with me? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And literally His forgiveness. He opens our hearts to the Father and to the throne of grace. Ephesians 1:7. In Him we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. His blood. He's a mediator. I'm glad for Him mediating my difficulties. I'm glad that He's able to speak to the Father the things that I need to be declared before Him. I'm glad He said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will do it. I'm glad He said that. I'm glad He put that there. Because I go to the Father in Jesus' name. Praying in the name of Jesus Christ. Opening up the ability for God to bless and for God to give into my life the depth and the riches. Secondly, His intercession presents before God. He always lives to intervene for us. He's always constantly intervening for us. I want you to think about that for a moment. Has God been intervening for you? Has Jesus been intervening for you? Has the Holy Spirit been intervening for you? I'm going to say to you, yes, yes, and yes. Because literally the Bible says, in Hebrews 7:25, therefore He is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. He's constantly making intercession for you and I. Constantly speaking to the Lord about everything that goes on in our life. Thirdly, His advocacy. Our advocate, our lawyer, our proof of victory, our justification has been applied. Let me tell you something about Jesus Christ, okay? Not only is He your Savior, not only is He your friend, not only is He your Master, not only is He the Rabboni, not only is Yeshua, not only is He all the names that you can declare throughout the Bible, He is an advocate for you. You know, when you feel alone and no one cares, Jesus cares. When you feel at loss and no one can help you, Jesus can. When you feel that nothing can be done, your life is over, might as well throw in the towel. Give me a towel to throw in quickly because I'm about to throw it in. If you don't, I'll find one to throw it in. I can't even move. I'm so low. I'm so depressed. Jesus will hold back the towel. He'll lift you up. He'll lift you up out of depression. He'll lift you up out of the fear mode. Oh my God, how fear has attacked the church. Every day people are afraid. How am I going to make it? What am I going to do? Let me plan it this way. Let me plan it that way. I'll tell you, you want the best plan in the world? Go ahead and plan for Jesus to do something in your life. God, you know, the plans of men fail, but God's plans. Somebody say God's plans. God's plans. They do it, brother, sister. They do it. They take you to where you want to go. They'll take you to a place that is going to be good and wonderful and great, and praise God for it. I'm glad for the plans of the Lord. God's got a great plan for your life. Are you listening? God's got a great plan for your children. Are you praying? God's got a great plan for the generation following after you. Do you know about it? Let me tell you something right now. God has a plan for Hope for the Bay. Church of God in San Pablo, California. If you want to take it back to the founding fathers in 1941, they prayed, they saw God's plan, and they started the church here in 1941 before San Pablo even became a incorporated city. They did that. They had a plan. The devil has fought this church amazingly because the plan that they received must have been awesome. I believe it was awesome. I believe it was incredible, running 275 in Sunday school in 1978. Praise God, running 300 in worship service. Praise the name of the Lord. But the enemy began to attack. 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 And people subsided. People subsided. People subsided. But changed the church to a church that wasn't even a church. I don't know what it was. It was just a bunch of folks coming together. Praise God. A bunch of drunks and alcoholics and people coming in and breaking worship. And I watched a man come in one day. We were in the middle of praising God. A man walked in and everybody stopped worshiping God to greet him and say, "Oh, hi." I went, "Ah." And I wasn't home alone. "Ah." You got to be kidding me. I never saw anybody get that excited about Jesus here. When Jesus walks in, we should be going, "Hey!" Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb. We're a church now. We may not be many, but we're a church. Yes. Moms, and you don't have to worry about your children. God didn't want that. God didn't want somebody staring at your kids. "Oh, you look at me like that all you want." I'm telling you what, I pray, I fast, I seek God's face. I know what the right and the wrong is in this world. And the right is that God wants you to praise Him, who worship of Him, and be guided by the Holy Ghost and not be afraid to go to church.
Amen.
You should be able to sit anywhere you want in church, anytime you want, anybody you want. You're safe. Hallelujah. You still love me? Because I love you no matter what. We're a church. First John 2:1, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He Himself is our propitiation," the appeasement for us, the appeasement of our sin. "For our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." Praise God. He's that for us. Let me close now. And I hope that this message on the man has reminded you of just who Jesus is. The Spirit of the Lord told me to say this to everybody. Do not let yourself be conformed to this world, but be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Do not let this world conform you into its image. Friend, the world is dark. It's getting darker. Mom and dads watch over your kids like a hen would watch over its chicks, like an eagle would watch over its eaglets. Watch over your children with the word. Watch over them with the love of Jesus Christ, caring for them. Be ye transformed into the image of Jesus, the man Christ Jesus. This man I presented to you deserves all the praise and honor and glory. He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. He is the Savior of the world. He is the man. John 4:42, then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you've said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. That's when the young evangelist, Samaritan woman, ran back from the well into the city and said, folks, I just met the man. I just met him coming here. They came and heard and they said, we're not transforming by what you said. We're transformed because we've met him. You see, you got to lead someone to Jesus, not just talk to him about it. Can I pray with you? You should say to someone, can I pray with you to invite Jesus into your life? 1 John 4:14. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world.